It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Time to go around the NFL as we welcome in our guy, Brandon K. Scott, otherwise known as B. Scott from Hiram Clark. What's happening, man?
Yeah, man, I'm still just trying to process, just like everybody else. I'm trying to understand what took place Sunday night, why it took place, how it took place, and where we go from here. Like,
you're talking about the flashing lights that happened early in the game? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, all of it. All of it. The flashing lights to the very end, to where it was dead-ass silent. Yeah, man, I'm trying to get there.
It wasn't silent. That's one thing I can tell you for sure. The Lions fans were chanting in there. It wasn't silent. The Lions fans were chanting in there. That was a frustrating part.
They affected the game.
Yeah, they sure did.
Early on, somebody said on the broadcast, on the Sunday Night Football broadcast, it's 30% Lions fans in here.
Ain't no way.
And I was like, well, I think that maybe they were trying to be generous.
They were.
Like, I think they were trying to not throw Houston under the bus by just pointing out there are a lot of Lions fans without trying to say, hey, Houston ain't showed up the way they're supposed to. I think that's what they were trying to do. But I wish I could have whispered into the, talking to the IFB and been like, yo, That's a regular occurrence.
or go like this.
Yeah.
Point 40.
probably higher, but also anytime the Texans play anything close to a legacy franchise or a franchise that is, like in the Patriots case, a franchise that has had recent success, I wouldn't call them a legacy franchise per se.
No, and funny enough, they did not become a national power that you would imagine when you get like a dynastic run. Mm-hmm. But anyways.
But when they came here.
Yeah.
When they came here, it was all of us like, is this New England and Houston? I didn't know geographically they were the same.
It's a long way.
But you would not know it based off of how the turnout looks and what the jerseys look like in the concourse and in the stands.
All right.
Sometimes it's just hard to admit, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were. But sometimes you got to admit it.
As a city?
Yeah.
Or as a team?
As a city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, we might be talking about both of them.
Well, let's go around the NFL. Brought to you by Quick Assist. Tired of the hassle of selling your tickets? Say goodbye to the stress and let their experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today and they'll handle the rest. QUICKASYST. Quick Assist, your ticket. Everywhere. All right, we go around the NFL, and I'd like to start here. The Chicago Bears have fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. They promote Thomas Brown, who, a name that is somewhat familiar here. But Shane Waldron just starting in his first year as offensive coordinator, and seeing a offensive coordinator fired is always interesting when you've had conversations about the similar around here. This feels like one that was destined to happen, though. Shane Waldron being fired there.
Yeah, so I know we're going to get to some Texans thoughts later on in the hour, but it did make me think about how I'd much more prefer to be in this situation where you've got questions about the offensive coordinator. You want to demand more and demand better from the offensive coordinator, from the offensive play caller, but you'll stop short of, and I know that we've heard this out there, fire Bobby Slowick and all of that, but reasonably speaking, you stop short of, hey, this guy needs to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's, hey, this dude needs to get his head out of his ass.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily, hey, you got to just throw him to the curb. Whereas with the Bears, they were able to acknowledge very early on, we don't have time to wait on this. We don't have time to allow the offensive coordinator to ruin the rookie quarterback that we just invested our entire future in.
Yeah.
We just don't have time to do that. So it's a very Bears thing to happen as well. Like, they don't develop quarterbacks.
Correct.
They don't do offense well. They haven't, and I don't know how long. This is just so on par, so on brand. And I point out, too, the two offensive coordinators that have been fired so far in season are Luke Getsy and now Shane Waldron today.
Both Bears associated?
Not just both Bears associated, but both the two most recent Bears offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
Like the dude that they just got rid of went and got a new job and got, and he was gotten rid of immediately.
Yeah.
The guy that they brought in to replace him was seen the door shortly thereafter, and it's very Bears. Duh Bears.
Yep. And look, the Bears probably could have known this if they went and did a little bit of interviewing around Shane Waldron's last job. So Jackson Smith and Jigba got drafted to the Seattle Seahawks. He spent his rookie year with Shane Waldron as his OC. And CHGO, which is a, you know, kind of like a podcast,
I'm familiar.
Podcast hub in Chicago, they had Jackson Smith and Jigba on, I think this was at the Super Bowl or what have you. And he was asked, you know, about, you know, what he would say to Bears fans about their new offensive coordinator.
Bears fans are super interested about the offensive coordinator coming in, Shane Waldron. What can you tell them about who they just hired to try to get this offense where it needs to go?
This is live?
Yeah. We're not live.
I'm playing. good luck to y'all. I mean, he's a great person.
He's a great person.
He's got a good personality.
Man, I remember this happening, and I just don't remember it being that bad.
Yeah. Dude, they teed it up, too. What can you tell us?
Said, it wasn't like... Is this live?
Is this live?
They teed it up
for
him.
Are you wearing a wire?
He could have said anything. Instead, he went, good luck. Good luck.
Instead of actually leading with, he's a great person.
Yeah.
Like, which we would have already... probably read too much into or read a lot into.
Correct.
Like, what? Yeah. You're telling me what kind of person he is? I just asked you about his job.
Yeah.
Like lead with he's a good person, yeah, and then work your way down. He's like,
well, that's clearly
he's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
He did not believe that. It took him a while to come up with that one. Yeah. He was searching and he was like, I guess he's a good person.
He's an okay guy.
Man got to feed his family. I wish him well.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
He said good luck.
Yeah.
That was his ultimate conclusion was good luck to you.
Good luck.
And I just, that feels like it needs to be considered when you start talking about firing a coordinator, offense coordinator. That was the starting point, and it ultimately got to a point where the Bears ranked in the bottom of the NFL in points scored being 24th, yards per carry 28th, yards per pass 30th, total yards 30th, third downs 31st, yards per play 34th. Like, that is the level of play that gets you fired at offensive coordinator.
I saw something that said they have gone 23 offensive drives without scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
And mind you, they drafted the quarterback number one overall. He looks like not good right now.
Yeah.
And part of it, I think, is what they're doing. And part of it, I think, is him. I don't know if it's confidence or if it's just deflated. I don't know what it is exactly. But it ain't working. It's not looking good right now. They have not scored a touchdown in 23 straight offensive possessions. And they also loaded up on receiver, on weapons.
Yeah.
Like they did. I know Ryan Poles is an attention whore, but to his credit, he did everything you could possibly do to try to surround this young guy with as much talent as he possibly could, except that one thing, and that's hire a capable offensive coordinator.
Well, and I think for a defensive coach. For a defensive coach. A defensive-minded coach often is the most important thing.
Who's offensive coordinator who you just had to fire before? So you've already had but you already had the issue, right? Like it's the second offensive coordinator under this regime.
Yeah.
And he doesn't last ten games.
Well, the story is, if it comes down to we've got to surround our franchise quarterback that we have a lot of confidence in with all the right people, and it comes down to coordinator or quarterback, it's the coordinator 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah. No,
100% of the time.
Many times it's actually the player over the quarterback now, like the star player rather of the coordinator in this current iteration in the NFL, especially with the pay reaching the levels that it has. I think for me, it's just the juxtaposition of this is how bad it has to be for in-season firing, right? Compared to, I know that there's a lot of concerns about Bobby Slowey. I honestly am having concerns about if this is the right scheme altogether that you have here. But the idea of like firing mid-season feels like a bridge that you like. It's such a drastic maneuver, and it comes when you have just literally bottom three in many categories, and you started out in a bad place.
Here's where it gets interesting and dicey. Do you do nothing? Do you maybe change play calling duties? Do you maybe what Reggie just said? You know, tweak the system itself.
See, I don't buy into that. I think play calling needs to be better, 100%. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat that. But I don't think you like systems really. Like,
well, I don't know that you can change the system.
But
change the emphasis of what they're doing.
Sure, you could do that. But yeah. Even just the premise of, hey, it's the system. Like, we were just not that long
really
ago
good
praising the system. And by the way, this system works really well across the league. Like, how is it that you get to Houston and you get to Bobby Slowick and all of a sudden this system that works for everybody else don't work for you?
Well, the offensive line ain't everywhere else.
But see, that's right. But that, to me, that's not a system issue. That's a personnel issue.
Okay.
You got the wrong dudes. You can't run the system that everybody else is running and everybody else is running well and it's supposed to complement or be quarterback friendly.
Yeah.
It's a quarterback friendly system to a good quarterback, not a quarterback friendly system for one of those, you know, has-beens that would be a backup for the, for the 49ers. I'm trying to think of some of those backups before Brock
Nick
Purdy.
Nick Mullins.
Burt Head or, you know.
Yeah, C.J. Bethard.
Bethard. That's what I'm trying to go with. Mm-hmm. It's not for those guys or even for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Like this is C.J. Stroud in a system that's already supposed to be like the same system that Matt Schaub ran, the one that made Matt Schaub look probably a little bit better than he actually was.
Sure.
And you're telling me that CJ can't run it? No, I refuse to believe that. I think you got the wrong offensive lineman. And again,
sir,
an offensive coordinator who does need to get his head out of his tail.
Okay, but you got the quarterback. You got the system that you believe in, right?
Yes.
Well, then it's maybe a messaging problem, which we talked about a little while ago, and that would be the coordinator.
No, there's a personnel problem for sure, but yeah. I think that once you have a personnel problem, then you maximize what you have with your personnel for the time being because you can't make that shift.
Yeah.
The tough part about it, especially in the immediacy of this game, this Lions game that they just lost, is that I've had a lot of complaints about Bobby Slowick, and I think rightfully so a lot of us have had questions for sure. But I did not feel like he was a top three issue in the Lions game. Like, to his credit and to the team's credit, they were scheming guys open.
Yeah.
Like, you want to tell me that the interception that C.J. Stroud threw that was supposed to be a Tank Dell touchdown was a part of the scheme, system, or play calling? Absolutely not. You want to tell me that after Joe Mixon gets you first and goal at the 3 and you can't punch it in, you got to kick a field goal, that was a system problem? No, that's a Juice Scruggs getting a holding penalty from the 3-yard line problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, we can have our complaints about Bobby Slowick. They're justified, but we got to keep it all in context.
No, and I think that is well said. The problem is I think that I've gotten to a point where I have made it so that those are not things that are fixable. And so I'll talk about the things that I feel like you can't adjust to fix around those things.
Yeah,
but
that's a good point.
It is worth noting. Mm-hmm. I think you make a good point that we have to start with noting the fact that the bigger issues are here. Those just feel like, as much as it's fixable, those ones feel like those aren't necessarily big, majorly changeable.
Whenever I have issue, I got one friend that, like, I'll be like, man, this is going wrong, whatever. And they'll be like, don't suck. Stop being bad. Like, sometimes the solution can be complicated, and sometimes you can oversimplify it and just say, hey, you know what, just be better.
Yeah.
Stop being bad at this.
Well, yeah.
Like, is your friend D'Amico Ryans? My bad. I didn't realize that you had it like that.
Hey, look. If there's anything that I wish D'Amico Ryans could say, just blunt, point blank, when he talks to the media today,
don't suck.
We need to not suck.
He's basically said that, though.
He really has. It
just, we just need to be better.
Yeah.
I needed him to say it verbatim. Don't suck.
Something that your opponent's head coach said verbatim is that Cooper Rush is going to be the starter again at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Their options are 8th-year veteran Cooper Rush, who 5-2 now as a starter, even though I don't believe in quarterback starting like wins or losses necessarily, because he is a don't mess it up quarterback. And those wins came up. Well, he had one game against, I think, the Minnesota Vikings where he actually he was throwing the football well.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just like, don't mess it up, and you have a team that is capable of not messing stuff up. That Cowboys team right now, it don't matter if you mess up or not, brother. You got to go get out the mud if you want to be the quarterback.
They mess up.
But they go with Cooper Rush instead of turning to the dude that they gave up some draft capital for and the guy who has not played enough football, Trey Lance. Who would you rather see as the Texans, Cooper Rush or Trey Lance?
I would rather see Cooper Rush because I feel like at the very least, Trey Lance offers a dynamic that is harder to prepare for. Mm-hmm. It's like it's just there is a physical matchup and a physical component that you have to account for that is different and just not frankly not there the same with Cooper Rush. So I'll say Cooper Rush. But even beyond that, like if you wanted to take, I know sometimes y'all do silver linings, you'll mm-hmm. take a saving grace from a loss or you know a negative thing. I would say, hey, if you could make, particularly in the first half, if you could make Jared Goff look like that, mm-hmm. Jared Goff, who is like a borderline MVP candidate this year and was or at least was playing like that going yeah. into that game, if you can make Jared Goff look the way that he did in the first half, God bless Cooper Rush or Trey Lance or
good
whoever,
luck, who, they say good
whoever
luck.
The Cowboys try to trot out yeah. there. So I feel good about where the Texans are defensively versus yeah. whatever they faced on Monday night.
I think that's very fair. That's around the NFL here on In the Loop. We got our guy B. Scott hanging out, which means coming up next, it's time to get into B. Scott's thoughts. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.